Welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I am just one of your still remote hosts. Sean Boyle with me is
Ashley Mock,
who is also remote, correct?
Still remote. Yep. Still.
I think we should say we are remoting. Let's turn it into something more proactive sounding.
It's a verb now.
It's totally a verb. So welcome to the half hour radio and sometimes television. This could possibly be a TV show because we are recording via Zoom, but we spend this time together every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m. to talk about resources and things that are available for children and families in St. Lucie County. Now, we at the Children's Services Council, I need everybody to understand two things. One, we are not radio show hosts, and two, we haven't figured out Zoom if you're watching this. So keep that in mind, but what we do at the Children's Services Council is five things for our community. And those five things are: one, make sure every baby's a healthy baby. Two, stop child abuse before it happens. Three, keep kids off the streets. Four, keep them in school. And five, keep them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors by offering programs and resources for all families in our community, including during a COVID-19 pandemic.
Especially during that. But Sean talks about those five priority areas. And I feel like our listeners who have been with us for a long time could probably recite those. Maybe not all five of them, but at least three out of five, I think. But we have a website where we have been sharing all of that information along with our funded programs. Information that's there, and you can get there on our website. It's probably the easiest place to find everything right now at cscslc.org. And I want to point out the one page that I feel like we've been talking about on the radio show for the last couple of weeks. We have a COVID-19 page there. We are compiling resources that include local, state, federal. There's information there about what our local programs are doing to help families. There's information there about, we linked to, can you hear my dog barking in the background? We have information there linking to state updates. So there is a lot of information on that one page in particular. So if you navigate to our homepage, there's a button right there in the front and center that will take you right to that page.
Yeah, and it's important that we consolidate all those resources because, you know, our program guide is still active. It's just the programs have modified themselves during this current reality that we are in. And, you know, I got to say, you can't have a remote Zoom or remote radio show host with or radio show without either a dog barking, a child saying something, or somebody walking by. So please, I can see you looking around, but don't worry about it because everybody knows and understands and expects that.
I made Rob come get Tank out of the room, so he shouldn't bark anymore.
So I just wanted to mention, so. And we have a guest that's going to pop on here in a couple minutes, and we have a lot of stuff going on. But I think it's important that people realize that, you know, we're in a weird world right now, and anything that you can do to stay hopeful, to stay in positive spirits, and just try to, I don't know, almost an escape from, you know, a crowded house that's maybe doing virtual learning, that's doing everything and working. And really, Ashley, I'm describing your household at this point.
Yes, my house. Yes.
But I think it's important that people find escapes, even if it's just for 10, 15 minutes. And I'm going to share something that I have found that it just makes me smile is, you know, I'm a huge Office fan, right? The TV show The Office, and the actor John Krasinski has been doing something, and you can find it on YouTube. It's called SGN or Some Good News, and it's just a little 15-minute clip of him sharing what people are doing across the country to spread good news and be hopeful. And I say that because I was feeling really down last night, I'm not going to lie, and I happened to stumble across it, and for 15 minutes, it put a smile on my face, and it was totally worth my time.
It is good. And you know, that said, I think there are some really great things that are happening in our community. People that have really stepped up to the plate. I know you've been doing a weekly update for our funded programs and kind of giving them shout outs in that message about, you know, people that are really doing innovative things to make sure that they can continue to serve our children and families, which is awesome. Some of those, you and I have talked, I think some of those things probably are going to stick around after all of this is said and done, which is is good. I mean, I think some of that has gotten to people in a different way. And I think that it will end up being beneficial for us all in the long run.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, we've been doing these web videos for our providers once a week just to give them an update. And this week we got a little creative and you and I kind of gave some shout outs, but I just want to give a thanks to the health department. I think a lot of people, you know, they're kind of on the front lines of this, and sometimes they bear the brunt of some frustrations with testing and stuff, but they're only working with the hand that they've been dealt, right? Mm-hmm. But they are on the front line every single day. And we actually heard from somebody that we work with in the health department who last Thursday indicated that she had been working her 25th straight day on the clock. So we just want to give a big thanks to the health department and that entire team over there.
Absolutely.
So go ahead. We have a guest that is in our waiting room. Should we let him in?
Oh, I feel like that's so formal. Like we have a waiting room. He's not allowed in yet.
Well, we could leave him hanging. Should we leave him hanging or should we bring our guest in?
No. He's good.
All right. We have a special guest with them. We're going to guest with us. We're going to admit him in. If I did it right.
Again, it's not our tech. Oh, look at that. What's happening where you are, man?
This is a radio show. It's kind of, his audio is connecting, but if you are if you're on Facebook and we end up posting this, you have to check out his screen.
There we go.
All right. So I don't know what happened on everybody else's end, but I didn't hear anything for about 2 seconds. So that's the beauty of technology in a radio show. So we have a special guest. Is Tony's audio working?
Test. Oh, is it working?
All right. So we have a special guest for our radio show listeners. We have the CEO of the Early Learning Coalition on with us, Mr. Tony Loop.
Good afternoon. Thank you guys for having me.
Tony, there's a lot going on behind you. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I mean, our
listeners can't see what's happening, but man, it's intense.
I wasn't sure if this was going to be video recorded and shared as well. So I'm glad wear a tie then. I was contemplating that.
You totally could have dressed up a little bit, but it looks like you're in an action movie. You're in a, what's that? Who's that famous action movie? Michael Mann or whatever? You're in one of his movies.
Yep.
All right. So Tony, we wanted to bring you on. Okay, folks, we got to really do a radio show now. So we wanted to bring you on because last week we talked with Trissa Aronson from the Chamber, and we talked a lot of bit about how this is impacting businesses, but we are starting to get to the point and starting to have dialogue at a state, national, and local level about businesses opening back up and what that means, because there's, you know, it's not going to be open up and it's a free for all. There's going to be some restrictions to how many people and social distancing and wearing masks. But we talked about when the community opens back up and people start going back to work, there's going to be a need for childcare.
Yes.
Because, you know, while we all have kids at home now, when we go back to work, we like to think that they'll be in a safe and learning environment, particularly younger kids. So that's really where you come into play.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, with the current health department and CDC guidelines of no more than 10 people in one classroom, as far as a childcare facility goes, that's including the teacher. So at most, a childcare center can have 9 children to one teacher, or ideally it would be 8 children to 2 teachers, so that if one teacher does have to step out of the room to use the bathroom, get supplies, whatever the case may be, they've got the other teacher there, because the CDC really does not want any, I forget the word now, it's not cross-contamination, but that's not the word I'm looking for, but that's what I'm going
to
use.
They don't want kids to blend together.
Because if one teacher goes from one classroom right into the other classroom, then they, you know, could be transferring those germs. So it's really, when you think about a childcare center, and you think about like the 2 and 3 year olds and really what goes into just if you're a parent, think about either if you have a 2 or 3 year old or you had them, you know, they were that age at one point, just think about how difficult it can be sometimes to watch just your own children. And now imagine them having 8 or 9 in one room, which is less than what they normally do. But, you know, that's under these conditions, it's a lot more stressful. And childcare centers and the teachers are really, I feel, the unsung heroes that contribute so much to the workforce, because they are the ones watching the children so that parents can be working and filling their, you know, their obligations to their household, family, and to society in general, just to keep us all productive. So these are challenging times.
So Tony, you mentioned that, you know, I don't know if you said something like to the effect of, I don't know if people can imagine having kids in their home or kids in a childcare classroom, but there's a lot of parents and grandparents who are like, oh yeah, we can definitely imagine that because it's happening now.
We're imagining it right now, actually. You know, that's true. I was just going to say, you know, in addition to the regulations that are being discussed about, you know, social distancing and small groups and all of that, there's a cleanliness side of things that the centers are now having to comply with as well. So like sanitizing at the end of every day is not something that they had to consider that seriously before.
Correct. And what makes it even more difficult is them obtaining the supplies that, you know, everyone is looking for right now, because they want their homes and vehicles and literally everything they touch to be cleaner than what we thought was clean just a couple months ago. So they're having difficulty with that. And as the coalition for that covers St. Lucie County, we have purchased hand sanitizer for all of those centers that are open. And we plan on continuing to purchase that right now. And we have also purchased masks, but they are on their way. So, you know, we're waiting for them. And I think they'll be here within about the next 10 days to 2 weeks, which seems forever away. But this is most likely going to be an ongoing practice in childcare centers, at least for you know, the next several months, if not even further than that.
So Tony, can you outline to us, because I know right now from conversation with you, the majority of the childcare centers are open right now.
Yes, that's correct. In St. Lucie County, we have 39% of our childcare providers are closed. And that amounts to 54, but when you, out of 137 locations and contracts. So, and also includes VPK and school readiness. That's a combination of all providers for all programs. What St. Lucie County, though, we're actually ahead of, we're doing better than the state average. The state average is actually 56% closed. And there are only about 5 or 6 counties or coalitions that have fewer closures than we do. And when you take out the private and public school districts, then our number actually goes down to around 20% closures, because we have 29 contracts that center around private and public schools.
And can you talk to us a little bit about right now? Because I know right now you kind of have a priority of who you can take in for childcare, or at least I know the frontline workers have kind of first dibs, if you will.
Right. So we have, through the state and the governor and commissioner of education's approval, we are able to pay for childcare of first responders and what we call designated healthcare employers, because, you know, healthcare is a broad industry and we know the importance of healthcare in general. But right now we have to focus on the hospitals and assisted living facilities as far as healthcare goes. And then with the first responders, it's that traditional sheriffs, law enforcement, you know, police, and fire rescue. But those individuals may not normally qualify, but because of the need to make sure that they have childcare in place so that they can protect us and care for those that are sick, especially if we do end up having a run on our hospital beds, that's why we've focused on the hospitals and the assisted living facilities for right now. That could eventually open up. We hear from the state that they may consider opening that up to the broader list of essential workers. But for right now, that is not the case. Until we hear further from them, we will just be serving those individuals.
So if someone comes across that information right now and they do qualify for one of those spots, how do they get in touch with you guys or find a center that's open or figure out how to make that work for their family?
So even though most of our team is working remotely from home, our phone number still works. Just people should follow the automated system. Try to reach someone in our family services department. Anyone in family services can help them. But ideally, we have reached out to the HR directors of those entities that I have listed or mentioned. And the HR people should be sending referral forms out to their employees. If someone hasn't received one and they feel they qualify, let us know. And then they should also reach out to their HR director to see if they have that form or not. And we can help them with that. We did update our website. So if you go to our website, we do have a provider locator map, and all of those, there's three different colors. And right now the color blue indicates that they are currently open for childcare services during this pandemic.
So, Tony, you mentioned both your phone number and your website for our radio show listeners, and quite honestly, our television show listeners, because we don't know how to do those graphics. Can you give out the phone number and the website?
Yes, sure. So our website is www.elcslc.org, and our phone number is 772-595-6424.
So we've spent a lot of time on our radio show, both with you and just in general, talking about the importance of literacy, the importance of education, particularly at an early age. You know, most people think, oh, my child should start learning in kindergarten. And we're like, nah, they should definitely start learning well before that. And that's why the Early Learning Coalition is so important. So as we slowly, as a community, start to open back up, whether it be, you know, a week from now or 2 months from now, whatever it is, people are going to start, you know, getting back to work, and they're going to have to start finding childcare sites to put their children. So can you describe like what services that you offer for those families and what they should look for in a childcare center?
So as far as looking for services or resources right now, if they go to our Facebook page, which is Early Learning Coalition of St. Lucie County, we are posting things there, resources there multiple times a day. So whether it's, you know, regarding literacy or just activities that they can be doing with their children to help occupy them, and they all have an educational aspect. You know, when we're talking about birth to five, it's really more about developing social emotional skills and word recognition. So playing equates to learning. It's not as much of a structured program when you get into the K-12 system, where, you know, there's actual instructional type of activities going on. So so they can access our Facebook page and follow it, and you'll get those updates as they come out along with our website. As far as looking for a child care center goes, we do have a checklist that you can request from our family services area that gives gives parents a very broad scope of things to look at when choosing a center. Right now, I think you want to consider what their policies are about children entering the building every day. You know, if they're taking the temperatures, if they're asking those basic health questions before the child comes in. And also, we just extremely strongly recommend that if a child is not feeling well, do not bring them to the center, even though it may just be a common cold or, you know, the sniffles, whatever. Just please don't bring them to a center at this point. But we do have a lot of resources that we can provide to parents as well. It talks about or gives a link to DCF's website, that's the Department of Children and Families, where they list all the licensed child care centers and any findings that they may have on the different reviews and inspections that they do at the centers on a regular basis.
So if somebody is watching and or listening, preferably listening to the show, and I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, is there currently a waiting list for, do child care sites have openings right now? So if somebody's like, hey, I think my workplace is going to open back up, you know, should they be calling now to get on the list or enrolling their child, or are they all full?
So, well, for right now, for school readiness services, we do have a wait list, and it's over 550 children right now at this point. So as far as our school readiness program goes, anyone that is not in need of subsidized care should just reach out to the child care center. Because they're following the CDC guidelines, again, of, you know, no more than 10 in a room, they're not able to operate at normal capacity right now. And until those guidelines get lifted, they may or may not have capacity. So you really just have to check with the provider. One thing that may happen as well is they may have capacity right now because of their current enrolled children being cared for at home by the parents. But parents need to ask if they have availability now and what will that availability look like when things get back to normal, because they may be able to take them now, but the priority for those child care centers will be to bring those families and those children back into care once those parents are out working and they're able to. So it's really just kind of an awkward time right now, especially as we're going to look to transition to normalcy. It's going to be hit or miss for any child care center right now. We can't necessarily say that they all have availability because of the current guidelines really that are going on.
So I'm going to distill all that information down to say that if a family and parents are thinking I might have to go back to work, they could start by simply calling your office at 772-595-6424.
Correct. Okay. And we can help guide them to what centers are open if they need to find a center.
So we've got about 3 minutes left on the show. So Tony, we've talked about school readiness. We talked about the importance of childcare. Is there anything else that you want to bring up? I didn't know if VPK or some other stuff.
Well, sure. With VPK, currently all assessments for VPK are no longer required. If a provider is open and they are continuing their VPK program, they can assess the children, but it's not required. And then the kindergarten readiness score that will be done in the fall, normally done in the fall this year, will not be counted for anything either. So VPK is really following the lines of the school districts right now, as far as that goes, and all assessments are waived around that. But there could be some programs open if the parent takes their child to a center that is currently closed and they want to transfer their child to another VPK program that is currently open, they can do that, even though we're past what's considered 70% of the program being completed, they can still do that.
So the bottom line, folks, is if your child is 5 or younger, you need to call Early Learning Coalition. Right?
Yes.
And again, the number is 772-595-6424. And it is important to stress because, you know, following up with how we led off with our conversation with the chamber last week, is providing a safe and learning place for children to go to while their parents at work is crucial to keep our economy going. And you provide that for working families at a reduced cost. Yes. As long as they qualify.
Correct. And one more quick announcement I'd like to share is that on May 8th, which is a Friday, that is Child Care Teacher Appreciation Day. It's always tied into the Friday right before Mother's Day. So for those of you that are listening that use childcare, please be sure to thank your childcare providers on Friday, May 8th for all that they do for your children and your family.
I think that parents are probably more appreciative of them than ever right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I know I can say that.
And I also appreciate the reminder that Mother's Day is very close by.
That's right.
I kind of forgot about that until you said that. So before we end, Tony, I don't know how hungry you are on Fridays, but I want to remind our listeners and viewers that we are doing something in coordination with the Chamber of Commerce called the Small Business Big Challenge. The Chamber has been choosing a member who happens to be a local eatery, and they offer carry out, takeout on that Friday. And we try to encourage everybody to go there because if their revenue is really high, we donate money to a selected nonprofit. We've done Taco Dive, St. Lucie Draft House, Texas Roadhouse, Jimmy John's, and the nonprofits have been the Roundtable, Pay Center for Girls, End It. We're going to keep this going so that we can keep businesses active, keep the community healthy by eating and supporting our nonprofits. Healthy depends on what you order. I get it. But we want to make sure that everybody is participating. You can check out all that information on our website as well as our Facebook page, including not only ours, but the Chamber of Commerce. So Tony, did you have fun? Was it as explosive as your background?
Yes. I meant to look. I didn't have time. I was going to look for WKRP as a background.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I would have loved that.
You know, our next promotion is we're going to drop turkeys from a helicopter. There you go. That's going old school for those people who don't know what I'm talking about. Look up WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
All right, folks, we are out of time. Thanks, Tony, for jumping on. We greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
I might have to steal that background. And I want to remind folks that it's a weekly radio program on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m. every Sunday. And it's our children, our community, our future. More than ever, we are all in this together. We'll see you next time.